Grace and peace in the name of Jesus Christ, who is the door. May we strive to enter through the narrow door, which is Christ Himself. Our text is the gospel lesson, Luke 13. Let's pray as we consider Luke 13 today in Jesus' words. Lord, your word is sharper than a double-edged sword. Cause your holy word always to penetrate our minds and our hearts, to work repentance in us and faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Are you looking at it? You really, really looking at it? Are you focused on it? Your full attention is on it? Are you in it? If you're in it, are you staying in it or wandering outside again? Are you bringing your children, your youth, your neighbors, your friends, your enemies, your coworkers? Are you bringing them to it too? What am I talking about? I'm talking about the door. All attention on the door today. Our full focus on the door. I need to be in and through the door and stay in and through the door and bring others with me in and through the door. The door, the door, the door. That's where Jesus points us in our gospel lesson today, the door. Our Lord has asked this important question by someone in the crowd. Lord, will those who are saved be few? This is the question to ask in life. Who's going to be saved? Am I going to go to heaven? Will my neighbor go to heaven? My family go to heaven? This is where we all want to go. This is the question of questions. Who's going to be saved? And Jesus' words, strive to enter through the narrow door. So all attention on the door. And as I mentioned before, we prayed, the door is Jesus. He is the door. As usual, Jesus talks about himself because he is our salvation. Jesus is the light of the world. He is the bread of life. He is the way, the truth, the life. He is the good shepherd. He is the vine. He is our life. He is the Alpha, the Omega. And here in Luke 13, he calls himself the door to heaven. He lived, he died, he rose. He is the door. We don't open the door. We don't make a door. He's the door. It's amazing grace. There is a door for sinners. When the door was shut back in the Garden of Eden, now God's reopened heaven, a door. Wow, we can get to heaven, we sinners? Yes, Jesus. Now, let me say four things about the door. That's the metaphor Jesus uses here for himself. First of all, some simple things. But this is salvation. This is eternity. First of all, notice a single door. You want to go to heaven? There's one door. A single door. His name is Jesus. No other door. Jesus doesn't say when the man asks him who's going to be saved, he doesn't say, oh, don't worry about it. Everybody will be saved. There's numerous doors. Pick your religion. Pick your philosophy. It doesn't matter. There's so many doors. Don't worry about that. Go worry about making some money and enjoying the football game today. Jesus doesn't say that. Strive to enter through the narrow door, not plural, but singular, door, the door. There's one way to heaven, one door to heaven, not two, not five, not seven. The world will tell you there's many, many ways. There's not. Listen to God's word. One door, his name is Jesus. And Christians today get killed because of this. Because they confess Jesus to be the door. And there's no other. And so be it. The church in Roman Empire in the early days and onward has gotten killed for this. That Jesus is the only door. And this bothers us Americans because we love choices. We love many doors. We like our options. Where am I going to go to eat after church? What restaurant do we want to go to? If we only had one restaurant in town, that would bug us to death. One restaurant? I want my choice. And when you came to church and got dressed this morning, you have a closet full of clothes. What am I going to wear to church? That tie, that suit, that dress, that outfit, those pair of shoes. If we only had one outfit, what? One outfit? And if you want to watch TV today, you just get on that button and remote control and flip through numerous hundreds of channels and pick. You have choices. There's no choice with heaven. Jesus is the choice. He's the option. Anything outside of Jesus leads to weeping and gnashing of teeth. Read the words of Jesus. I read a little article where people were asked the question, not really a question, they were asked to finish a statement. The time I felt the smartest was when what? And people were asked to finish that sentence. The time I felt the smartest was when, and someone wrote, the time I felt the smartest was when I completed a New York Times crossword puzzle in ink. That's pretty smart. Another person wrote, the time I felt the smartest was when I knew the French word for hiccup. I have a feeling that person's not real smart if that's the smartest you've ever been, huh? I felt it was the smartest when my grown children came to me for advice. That's kind of where I'm at, but they don't ask me for a whole lot of advice. I'll let you figure that one out. When do you feel the smartest? I'll tell you, when we are the smartest and wisest and most educated, when we know Jesus Christ, He is the wisdom of God. When we're baptized in the name of Jesus, our kids are baptized. That is smart, wise. When we commune, smart, wise. When we hear the gospel, we're smart, we're wise. We confess our sins, smart, wise. When we trust in Christ, follow Christ, know Christ, the Son of God, then we are wise. A wisdom given by God Himself. Secondly, the door is a small door. Jesus said specifically, strive to enter through the narrow door. It's narrow, it's small. The Greek word for strive is the word agonizomai. We get our word agony from it, meaning go through every agony to enter through the door. Make every sacrifice. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. Die. Be a martyr. Every agony, every pain, every effort to enter through this small door. And He says, many will try, but they won't be able to. Why? Well, three things here. If it's a small door, we need to become small to enter it, right? And being small and narrow implies repentance. Crawling, begging on our knees. A life of repentance, confessing sin. We make ourselves small. And God washes away sin, and the sins are gone. We're small. We can enter. So He's talking about confession, repentance, humbling yourself. Many can't enter because their head's too big. They're proud, arrogant. Maybe that's you. We all have it. I have a lot of it. I think I'm good. I think I'm great. I'm good enough to make it. I've done enough good works. That big-headedness, you won't be able to enter, Jesus says. Because of your own pride and self-righteousness. You think you can make it yourself, you can't. Or another thing we might think of is greed. We like all of our stuff, our money, our possessions, and we try to drag that with us. You got to become small. The greedy person who loves riches won't be able to enter. He's trying to drag too much with him, or she. Another thing he's talking about when he uses this adjective of small or narrow is you need to look for salvation now in small things. It's a small door. So look for salvation, look for Jesus in small things, not in big elaborate things. It's the smallness of the water of baptism. A little bit of water, or if you have a lot, water, small. But there, God washes sin. There is Jesus saying, welcome, puts His arms around us. You're in the door now, you're in me, you're saved. It's small though. The smallness of bread and wine. Where He says, this is my body. I know it looks small, a little wafer, a little bit of wine. But here's my body. Here's my blood. Here's the door. Here I am. Here's forgiveness. It's in these small things. The smallness of confession and absolution. Where we say, God have mercy. And the pastor says, you're forgiven. It's all so small. Looks so unimpressive. And yet it's in these small things that the door opens. And Christ is in the Word. He's in the sacraments. He's here. Forgiveness, grace. The door is open, but only those that have faith realize it. You don't have faith, you stumble over these things. May God draw you to faith. Do not look for Christ and salvation in some big elaborate thing. It's in the small things of God's holy word and water and bread and wine where Jesus says He will be. And a final thing on this small point is the door is narrow, so you go in one by one. You as an individual before God, you're not going to get in on the shirt tails of your mom and dad. Grandma was a great believer. She's in heaven, and maybe I'll get in on her shirt tail. Not going to work that way. It's a little door. We enter one by one. We all have to face judgment one by one. We're all going to face the living God. And do I have faith in Jesus Christ or not? Am I baptized or not? Maybe everybody else is baptized, but you're not. Everybody else believes in my family, but you don't. You're not going to get in some group effort here. It's you and God. What say you about Jesus? And the third point. It's a small door. It's a single door. It's a saving door. Don't miss the obvious. Where the door leads. The door leads to eternal life. It leads to paradise. Jesus says later in the text, people from the north will come, the south, the east, the west. There's going to be a whole multitude. There's going to be angels there, Hebrews tells us. God's going to be there. All the saints are going to be there. So on this side of heaven, the door is small. The church, word, sacraments, doesn't look so great. But when you're in the door and you're in Christ and you have faith, and then when we're in heaven, it's going to be huge. It's paradise, a whole new kingdom I'm in with angels on my side. God is with me. The saints are rejoicing. I rejoice with them. I'm in Jerusalem, the new city, the gold streets, the pearly gates. Wow, it's so big. It's so big and wonderful. And the table, the feast. So it's small on this side, and this is what we stumble over. But when you're in, it's glorious. And it's grace. And you have all the blessings of God. Don't miss the obvious. The door leads to heaven. When Christ is asked the question, are only a few going to be saved? He doesn't say there's many doors, as mentioned, but he also doesn't say you don't have a chance. You're a sinner, and you think you're going to go to heaven? You don't have a chance. You're all going to go to hell, so don't ask again. He doesn't say that either. He says many will enter, those that are in him, baptized, and believe, and are in him. And that leads to the final point. At some point, this door will be shut. The door is open right now. The church doors are open. We don't kick anybody out. You hear the gospel here. You'll be baptized here. Bring your children if you want them baptized. You can be confirmed here and receive communion and forgiveness and grace flow. Christ is here. The door is open. His arms are open. The door's not half open. It's not just barely open. It's open. Christ died and rose, but it's going to be shut sometime. And Jesus implies that and says that here. It'll be shut the final day when he comes back. And if you believe you're in, you're already in for that matter. You're in the kingdom now. And if you're out, you're out. You don't get another chance. Are you in or out? And notice this. That being close isn't good enough. These are some shocking, disturbing words when people will say, people will be outside knocking, saying, let me in, let me in. He'll say, no, I don't know where you're from. Who are you? And they'll say, You taught in our streets. We ate with you. We know you, Jesus. He says, I don't know you. This implies if you're close, close doesn't get you in. Curiosity doesn't get you in. Knowing some facts doesn't get you in. You need to be in Christ, which means baptized. Stay in the church. Don't drift. Stay in the church. Receive forgiveness. Confess your sins. Take Holy Communion. Stay in the Word of God. Stay in Christ. But there are many, many people that are close. They come to church every once in a while. They kind of say they believe, but they're not really sure. They're interested, curious. Praise God for that, but you got to get in. Baptism, life in the church, confirmation, and stay in. Some people get in the church and then they leave. How foolish. Finally, the picture Jesus is drawing here is of the ark, this whole door language makes us think back to the ark. And how many arks saved people? One. And was being close to the ark good enough when the flood came? I'm sure a lot of people touched the wood and they looked at Noah building the ark and they had every intention of getting in that thing when the flood waters came, but they never got around to it. And so when Noah shut the door, God shut the door and the floods came. I'm sure there were people knocking, let us in, Noah, let us in. Please, let us in. No. You had your chance. You were close. But this is salvation, not horseshoes. Are you close but not in? Praise God, you're close, but it's time to come in. Be baptized, have the kids baptized, join the church, be in the ministry of the church and be saved. and not just curious and interested every now and then. Strong warning here. You know, Mark Twain, the great author, it is said that he would lock himself in his office and didn't want to be bothered by anybody. And so no one would knock on his door because they didn't want to bother him, or no one would dare burst in, and he was studying and writing. And the way to get him out was doing what? They would blow a horn. They would blow a horn. And finally, you got to come out and eat, Mark. Come on, we need you. They blow a horn to get his attention. This gospel lesson is blowing a horn in our ears. It's a really loud horn. Christ is the door. He is a single door, no other door. Don't look for another door. He is a small door. He is a saving door. Right now, the door is open, but the door will be shut. Get in now. Bring your children. Bring your youth. Bring your neighbor. Bring your coworker. Get in the door, stay in the door, and live forever. Amen. We stand. Now may the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's continue.